Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord. Shalom, brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 35 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten Reflection. Yesterday began the final week of our journey.
The Holy Week.
The Holy Week. It started with Palm Sunday and will end with Resurrection Sunday. But because we don't broadcast on Sundays, we're going to double up and talk about Sunday and Monday today. How's that? But before we get started, let's take care of the business. Down in the description area, you will find two links. The first one is to our 40-day Lenten calendar, and we encourage you to, if you have already downloaded that once, please re-download that, because we have had to make some changes to the daily scriptures for this last week as the Holy Spirit gave us direction. The second one will be our companion downloads, and that is the study guide where we go in more into depth about the scriptures that we're going to be talking about today. So, my love, since we're doubling up and we're doing 2 days, you get to read two scriptures today.
Ooh. Okay.
The first one, I love this one.
It's beautiful.
This was a prophecy that was issued 520 some odd years before Christ was born. And then add another 33 years to that till he actually fulfilled it.
These prophets are amazing, aren't they?
Wow.
Yeah. Isaiah.
Shows you who they were listening to.
Zechariah.
So this one is a prophecy about the very event we're going to talk about in the first part of the podcast today.
Okay, so it starts, it's Zechariah 9:9 from the New King James Version, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So good.
Yeah. And you know what? 550 years later, Jesus fulfilled that prophecy to the letter.
On Palm Sunday.
And you can't tell me that salvation was an afterthought, because Zechariah tells us right here that he was bringing salvation and that he was gentle and righteous.
So good.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about this scripture. What I like is, and what I saw in it, is that donkey.
Mm-hmm.
It also reminded me of Mary riding on a donkey into Bethlehem.
Into Bethlehem, yeah.
So it's, he came in on a donkey.
And he goes out on a donkey.
On a donkey.
So. Somewhat.
I don't know. I don't know Somewhat. If that's yeah. anything, but...
But it is, it's cool, because back in those times, only the royalty got to ride on the donkeys. Everybody else walked. So both times, even prior to his birth...
Mm-hmm.
And prior to his crucifixion, both times, he was treated as royalty.
And remember when Mary was kept trying to get off the donkey, Joseph said, no.
No.
We need to ride.
We need to ride.
Yeah. Very cool.
And you know, this whole story of Palm Sunday and Jesus, the triumphal entry, where he rides the donkey in and they're throwing down the palm branches and their clothing and shouting Hosanna and all of that, is really an amazing story, and it is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record this event. And it's interesting when you start comparing the different things. There's a couple of instances where two of the Gospels will record an a part of the event and the other two don't, but they'll record something else. Mm-hmm. But when you combine all four, they're all very similar and they all record pretty much the whole thing except for Luke. And Luke has this whole other section added to the bottom of an event that nobody else records. And I find that interesting. Why in the world did the Holy Spirit have Luke write down this event and nobody else? And if you're reading our companion download, you'll see verse 41 through 44 of Luke 19. That particular passage is the only time that this event or this thing is mentioned.
You're teasing.
I am. And I'm not saying that we'll talk about that today. What I am saying is, if you come back on Wednesday, we will dig into Luke 19, verse 41 through 44.
And why? What's the difference between Luke and the others?
Well,
what's added?
The thing that's added will lead you to one of the most astounding biblical prophecies ever. And if you're just perusing through Luke and reading through this and not aware of this, it's easy to miss. But I'll show you on Wednesday just exactly
where it is.
Where it is. And you're going to be going, what? So, anyway, that's a little teaser. We hope you enjoyed your Palm Sunday.
And a note, I know we were discussing this as well, the fact that the palms actually are saved and burned and they become the ashes for Ash Wednesday.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the traditional Christian ritual, but...
It's just the Ash Wednesday.
The celebrations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the process. They take the palms from Palm Sunday, burn them, and use the ashes for Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, just a little factoid.
Another factoid. And that one would be thanks to my lioness, because I didn't know that prior to our discussion the other day. So... Now we move on from Palm Sunday to Monday, the day after Palm Sunday. What happened there? Would you like to read that scripture, my love?
I would, and I'm excited to dig into this.
This is today's actual scripture.
So today's scripture comes from Mark 11, 12 through 14, and 20 through 23, and it's from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now the next day, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning, as they passed by, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.'"
Mm.
So good.
Mm. So much there.
There's so much.
So much there. Oh my goodness.
Yes. And I know we discussed this in great length.
Yes, we did.
Because the fig tree part had me a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struggling with it. Because when I first read it, until I read down later in the scripture, to me it was getting in trouble or being scolded from God because of an action, because not doing something properly. And for sure, I've done things.
But let's look at the part of that gave you that impression.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first, I kind of have to break this up into three little sections, and it's easier to deal with in that way. Let's take the first section, and it says, now the next day, when talking about Monday, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again," and his disciples heard it. So that's the first section.
And that's the part I'm like, why would he do that?
Exactly. And if you're just perusing through the scripture and reading through that, it's easy to come across this and go, well, that doesn't seem very Jesus-like. Mm-hmm. Jesus was kind and loving, and he didn't get angry. He wasn't easily angered. You know, all of the qualities of love that we read in 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus displayed all of those all the time. Why in the world would he curse this fig tree just because it didn't have fruit? And in order to understand that, let's try and put on our Jewish glasses from that time period. Most people who lived in that area at that time period, fig trees were common. Mm-hmm. And even though this wasn't the time for figs, what does it say? The fig tree having leaves. And that's an important thing to notice. And the Holy Spirit always does this. He puts these little factoids in there, and you have to pay attention. You have to do some digging, and then it goes, and then you go, aha! So the fact that that fig tree had leaves, you know what that means?
It has fruit.
It should have had fruit, because a fig tree produces leaves and fruit at the same time. So when Jesus saw it, that it had leaves, he's like, aha, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get me some figs. But when he got there, there were no figs. So that tells us that that tree had something wrong with it. It had a bad core because it was professing something that it didn't provide.
And bad core doesn't mean that's not an action.
So if we equate that to the analogous meaning of a bad tree produces bad fruit or no fruit, and a good tree produces good fruit, talking about believers, it's not talking about the actions. It's talking about something wrong in the core.
Meaning right? There's no Holy Spirit.
Meaning there's no Holy Spirit. Because if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit is good, and he's in your core, and there's nothing that can corrupt him. So this analogy is not talking about the believer doing something wrong. It's talking about somebody who's not a believer professing that they are, or somebody evil professing to be good who has evil intent.
So it would be a believer, once we believe, once we make that mind...
Repent, yep,
we
change
make
our mind.
Change of mind, we receive the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and then we are saved. A non-believer, an unbeliever, would have that bad core...
From birth,
because, yep. you know, the sin of Adam,
mm-hmm.
and they'd be judged. So they're going to receive judgment.
Yeah. And that's all that this is referring to. And Jesus is showing his lordship in that way through this semi-parable, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some other really cool things that he's showing in here as well.
But yeah, but then after, when he goes, mm-hmm. when we go into the second part of the scripture, that's when you learn about the power of the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
Even more.
Yep. So it's important to notice here in this first section that the Holy Spirit made sure to point out that his disciples heard him curse the tree, okay? Because he cursed the tree and then they walked on and they went about their business. No other words were spoken about it, but his disciples heard it. So going down to the next section, it says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So this is the next morning. They had left Bethany going for Jerusalem the day before. So the next day, they were passing by that same way and saw the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering that Jesus cursed it, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." And I always picture Jesus kind of being frustrated at Peter at that moment because he's, "Hello? Don't you have any faith in God? Have faith in God. Haven't I been telling you that if you say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' and don't doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say? Why do you not get this, Peter?" So I always picture Jesus responding that way. So when I read it, I don't just read it as Jesus saying, "Have faith in God." I read it more like, "Have faith in God."
So that first part is twofold then. So it's talking about the core, but also the power of the spoken word.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we get to the third part, mm-hmm. where that really gets driven home by the Lord. And we've talked about this in many of the podcasts before, about the authority of the believer and the power of speaking the word over situations, over your body, over other people, speaking healing into your body, speaking God's word over situations. The spoken word here, and let's look at this third part, says, for assuredly, Jesus, this is Jesus talking to his disciples again, after he exclaims, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Doesn't say he'll have whatever he hopes for. Doesn't say he'll have whatever he wishes for. Doesn't say he'll have whatever he wants. Says he'll have whatever he says. And that's she, by the way, as well. Right?
Yes. So just like the fig tree.
Just like the fig tree.
Withered away. So any illness mm-hmm. in our bodies would be the same thing. Be like, leave this body. This is Christ's temple.
That's right. So the believer has been... Let me ask you something. How did God create the earth?
He spoke it into creation.
He said, let there be light and all of those things. He spoke, right? Whose image are we made in? God's. Why do we not understand the power of the spoken word? Over and over and over and over and over again, Jesus tells us, say, speak, believe and speak, and don't doubt. This is the powerful message from today's verse. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, he will have whatever he says.
And we don't need to go into Matthew 17:20, but we could do that as well. With the faith of mustard seed can move that mountain.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know that's faith, but it always talks about speaking as well.
Yes, it does. It does indeed. Faith of a mustard seed, speaking and not doubting. And what are we speaking? We're speaking the word of God over the situation. Do you have sickness in your body?
Tell it to go.
Why? Because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body one time. So that was 2,000 years ago. If I was healed then, I'm healed now. So body, get in line.
Right.
And that's how we begin to speak God's word.
An illness, you're like a fig tree.
That's right. You are cursed. And I curse you right now, and you get out of my body.
Just like the fig tree.
Mm-hmm. So.
This is so good.
It's really good. And there's so much here. Oh, I struggled with how in the world am I even going to talk about this stuff, because it can go in 1,500 different directions.
Mm.
But because we have really focused on this Lenten journey, this journey with Jesus, mm. we've been focusing on getting to know Jesus more intimately and more accurately from the Word of God.
And this week we start on Palm Sunday and walk to the cross with him.
That's right. And I do anticipate that these podcasts will be a little bit longer as we dive into these subjects through this week. There is a lot here, and we're going to try and do it briefly, but do it
justice.
Justice.
Well, with that, I want to pray us out with some good word.
Mm.
Good conversation with God.
Yes. I'd love to.
Thank you.
Will you guys pray with us? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you today, Father, for this word. We thank you that through this week, we can walk with Jesus through that last week and see all of the things that he saw, hear all of the things that he taught. and that we can get to know him better, that we can get to know what exactly it is that he accomplished when those words came out of his mouth, tetelestai, on that final day. And Father, we just thank you that after that tetelestai, the brand new beginning started. And that wasn't the final day. That was just the last day of this part of your plan. And that tetelestai was also the beginning of the next part of your plan. We thank you, Father God, that you have included us in that and that you've given us this amazing opportunity to come into relationship with you, to be justified, to be made righteous with his righteousness, to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered, prospered, and forgiven. And Father God, I know that sometimes it's easy for us to get caught up into these religious concepts and these religious teachings. But Father God, I pray that you just give us, you open our eyes to your word and the truth that it contains right there in front of us. Help us to take off our religious glasses and to get to know you just the way that you have communicated it to us through your word. We love you, Father, and we just thank you so much for the blessings upon blessings upon blessings that you've poured out for us because of your great love. I pray, Father, for each person that's listening right now, that this week will be a new beginning for them in their walk with you, that you would open their eyes in a much greater way to the reality of your amazing love for them, and open up their eyes to the reality of who you are in ways that they've never seen before. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we just ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, our big brother, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And all of your children said, amen.
Amen, amen,
amen. Amen.
Whew, good stuff. You made my eyes leak.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's about dang time. I do that all the time.
That's good. Leaky eyes.
Leaky eyes. God is just so good all the time. Well, shall we bless them out of this day with some perfect peace?
Yes.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. We'll see you next time.
We love you.